So there are two readings this morning. The first reading is found in Acts 11, verse 19 to 26, and that's on page 920. Acts 11, starting at verse 19. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who were coming to Antioch and spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and looked for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And the second reading is from Acts 13, just across the page, and verses 1 to 3. Acts 13. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off.
Thanks for reading. Thanks for reading for us, Jen. Brilliant. Welcome, everyone. Let me add my welcome to Ali's. It's lovely to see you this morning. Good to be with you all. We're doing this fourth value, Gospel Progress, and we're going to get going in Acts. Let me pray for God's help. Father, thank you so much for this example now that we look at of believers, the church in Antioch. Father, we do ask that you would help us to be like them, that by your Spirit you would stir up in us a desire to see one another growing into Christ-likeness, making progress in the faith, and also a desire to see the gospel going out from us, whatever that might look like in our lives this next week. And we pray this, that many more may enjoy life with Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? I guess there's lots of different ways that we could answer that question. We could say, well, I'm here this morning because I always come to School 21 on a Sunday morning, so that's why I'm here. We could say, I'm here this morning because somebody invited me along. Maybe I'm new. If that's you, welcome, especially warm welcome to you. It's great to see you with us. We might be utterly confused and have no idea why we're here this morning. I remember there was a time where my enthusiastic welcome meant that some guys who are meant to be at Little Kickers, which is the football club over there on the sports hall, remained in our service for about 30 minutes, not knowing what was going on at all. So you may be here for that reason this morning. This isn't Little Kickers. It's over there in the sports hall. Anyway, the passage this morning is going to help us to answer that question. Why are we here? If you're a Christian here this morning, worshipping Jesus in East London, it is because of a prayer meeting that happened in the first century in Antioch. And God used that church and that prayer meeting to change the world forever. Crossway is here now because of the church in Antioch then, and because of their commitment to gospel progress. As we've probably said to a blue in the face this morning, that is our fourth core value, and that is what we are thinking about this morning, the last of them, gospel progress. And once again, we find ourselves in the book of Acts. It probably is the most obvious place to go in the whole of the Bible when it comes to gospel progress, when we think about gospel advance. Because, of course, in the book, we witness the birth and growth of the early church. We see the launch of Jesus' great commission to go and tell of his life and his death and his resurrection and ascension. And we could hop all over the book for half an hour, seeing little examples of gospel progress, gospel advance, or big examples of it, to be honest. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on one little case study, which is actually what we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, if you remember. We've been seeing gospel passion in the life of Paul. And then we visited the church in, where was it? Ephesus. And we saw gospel word. And then we visited Jerusalem last week. We saw a little picture of gospel community there. And this morning, our final stop, Antioch. What do we find when we get off the bus? Well, we find a church committed to gospel progress. And we're going to see that in two different ways this morning, two facets of gospel progress that are interrelated, deeply woven in together. In fact, Michael and Sharon, thank you for your prayers. They were praying for these two facets, and you'll see them on the back of our service sheet if you want to follow along. We'll find these two facets. You can't really prize apart, but I've kind of attempted to, in the church in Antioch. And the first one is gospel progress, a church that is maturing. A church that is maturing. Now, as I've already said, the main action in the book of Acts is that the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and reign, and the good news of salvation in no one else but him, forgiveness of sins through him, is going out, and the church is growing in number, almost kind of uncontrollably. We saw that at the start of last week. Do you remember? 3,000 souls came to the Lord, and then at the end of last week's reading, I think it was, and the Lord added to their number day by day. I mean, what an exciting time. That must have been incredible to see, just this kind of gushing out of the gospel and people turning to Jesus. But here's something that's really cool and may go unnoticed as we read Acts. Gospel progress is about more than just numbers. It's about more than just numbers of new converts. Now, it's not about less than that, but it is about more than that. And we see that in Antioch in chapter 12. You can think about growth, can't you, in two different ways as a farmer. I'm not a farmer. I don't know if there is anyone here who has farmed in the past. I don't really know very much about farming. I can't look after flowers at all, but hopefully you'll understand this analogy. If you're a farmer, you've got a field, and you plant a tree, and the tree grows up, and then you kind of go back to the field in, let's say, 5 years, and what do you see? Well, you might see a few different types of growth, because, of course, as a tree grows up, it's going to grow fruit, and the fruit is going to drop, and the fruit will then seed the ground, and then other trees will start growing up. So maybe as the farmer, you go back in 5 years, and you see loads of trees where initially there was just one. There are more trees in the harvest fields. But you could also think about gospel growth, and I'm getting to the gospel in a second. You could also think about the growth of a tree in a different way. You could just stare at that one tree that you planted, and you could see how that one tree has grown upwards. So two different types of growth, just by looking at a field. Growth outwards, more trees in the field, and then looking at a tree that you planted, growth upwards. How has that tree matured? And that is kind of the way to think about, one way to think about gospel growth. Daniel McIntosh is doubting that. But they're kind of, you know, the gospel going to work inside us and then the gospel going out from us. Okay, the kind of more Christians in the field now type growth, but also the kind of Christians themselves growing up type growth. So growth outwards and growth upwards. And growth upwards is what we're going to think about for a few minutes. And actually, this cuts, doesn't it? Both these facets of gospel growth cut with Jesus' great commission that maybe we read. It's at the kind of top of our sheets in front of us. Because, of course, Jesus didn't say, go and make new converts, teaching them a gospel outline. He said, go and make disciples. Disciples, followers of me, who will keep following me. So, of course, new followers and keep growing disciples, not teaching them a gospel outline, but teaching everything that I taught you. Gospel progress, it isn't just growth upwards, numbers, outwards, numbers. It is also growth upwards, maturity. And we see it in Antioch. Let me just show you that from the text. It's really interesting. So we'll go from verse 21 of chapter 11. Do open the Bible up if you've closed it, 920, verse 21 of chapter 11. It set the scene. There's been some persecution. The gospel has spread, kind of outward progress. And some people come to Antioch speaking to the Hellenists, so non-Jews, Gentiles. And then verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. That's probably the most familiar type of gospel progress in Acts. Now get this, verse 22. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas, the great encourager, to Antioch. So because people have become Christians, they then send a great encourager. And Barnabas does what he says on the tin. So verse 23, when he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all, as in the Christians, people who are now believing, to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Keep going. You're Christians, now keep going. Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to then look for Saul. Now this is Saul, the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote half the New Testament. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch for a whole year. They met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So you see that there's this emphasis, not just on kind of like, let me tell you the gospel so you become a believer, but also, now you're believers, we need to get Barnabas, the great encourager. Keep growing, keep going. Now more people are becoming Christians. We need to go and get Paul, and he's going to teach you for a whole year to encourage you and build you up. Strengthening and maturity in Antioch is just as much of a big deal as numbers. Keep growing, keep going. Now, we've actually seen this facet of gospel progress elsewhere in this series. So what is it that Paul says? You can look it up later, Acts chapter 20. What is it that Paul says in this really emotional speech when he says goodbye to the Ephesian elders? He says, verse 27, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And then he says, verse 32, and now I commend to you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Maturity. And of course, we see it, don't we, from the rest of Paul's writings. As he writes back to churches, Christians already, he's been influencing in the book of Acts. He says things like this, Ephesians 4, I've got it on the sheet, you can look at it later. Ephesians 4, he says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Philippians 1, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. This is the sort of gospel progress that we long for in our family, isn't it? Growth in maturity. We want to grow up. We want to help one another know and apply the Lord Jesus' words to every part of our lives. We want to become more like our King, no matter how long we have been serving him for, maybe a year, 5, 10, 20, 30, whatever. Where someone is new in the faith, where someone's come in amongst us, they become a Christian, we want to teach them things they haven't yet discovered about the Lord Jesus in his word. Where someone is struggling in sin, we want to help them. Where someone is flagging in a really hard season, we want to encourage them on. Keep going. We don't just want progress out there. We want progress in here. We want progress in here. Wouldn't it be amazing if people, I don't know, you had kind of had an alien visit Crossway at School 21, and then 10 years later, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm amazed at how many more people there are in the moon. It's like they smell more like Jesus now as well. You know, the kind of, maybe there was a bit of impatience going, well, that person's much more patient now. Maybe there's a bit of gossip going on in one area of the church, but there's no gossip with these people. So, these people have changed in 5 years, not just in number, but they've changed and grown in Christlikeness. Now, at the end of each week, there's a kind of few practical outboxes that we've gone for, aren't there? Ways to kind of bed in this value that we've been thinking about. And over the last couple of weeks, we've gone for, I think, kind of a few different options, depending on where we're at and that sort of thing. We're not going to do that this week, because we've got kind of two facets of gospel progress. Very simply, we're just going to have one outbox for each facet. Does that make sense? So the kind of practical takeaway, they're both on your sheets, actually, kind of at the bottom, but the practical takeaway for this facet of gospel progress is something that isn't actually new to us. If we were on the church weekend away, or if we've listened back to the talks from that weekend away, you'll remember that actually we devoted a whole weekend to this facet of gospel progress, transformation in the Christian life from glory into glory. And Jamie spoke then about a change project, something, a particular area in the Christian life where we might want to really grow, and we know that we need to grow. Or maybe we've sought out a friend who knows us better and says, actually, you didn't realize this, but this is an area you need to grow in. Well, we've made it our change project. Now, I want to encourage us this week. I just want to ask us, how's that going? How is the change project going? And spend a bit of time thinking about that and praying about that this week. Now, let's face it, it's the end of January. So we're all probably pretty used to admitting we haven't done things we promised that we would do. And so it may be that we thought about the change project and it never even got started. We never even thought more about it after the weekend away, or it got lost in the Christmas carnage. Now would be a great time just to kind of click refresh, start again if you need to, or start for the first time if you weren't on the weekend. You know, how might I grow? Maybe it is patience, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I want to grow in that fruit of the Spirit. Patience in these particular moments that I struggle in, that's where I want to grow. Or maybe it's, and I'm an approval junkie. I'm addicted to the praise of man, and I want to grow in the fear of the Lord rather than the fear of man. So how am I going to do that? And this week, spend a little bit of time thinking that through. How am I going to pray about that? What verses might I call to mind that will strengthen me and help me? Is there someone I can speak to, who in turn I can talk back to about how our change projects are going? So the change project, there's a practical outbox for us when it comes to this form of growth. The Lord is on our side with this, isn't he? He wants to conform us more and more to the image of his Son. He says that he will. So let's get going with this optimistically and revisit it this week if it's something that's dropped off our radar. Gospel progress. A church growing in maturity. Now, that is the first thing that we see as we hop off the bus in Antioch. But we're going to see the more familiar facet of gospel progress, I think, when we think about Acts now. So we've kind of done the upward growth, the tree growing. Now we're going to think more trees in the field, kind of outward growth. So second point, gospel progress, a church that is on mission. Now, there's a brief interlude, isn't there? We've had chapter 11, then we get chapter 12, then we come back, chapter 13, life in Antioch, part 2. What do we find? Well, let me read 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, the apostle Paul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said this, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. Now, can you imagine that? Oh, Barnabas and Saul, wow, okay. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Do you see what's going on here? I absolutely love what is happening here. Just try and put yourselves for a second into some Antioch sandals, okay? The Antioch church has just got going. They've just got going. Now, they've been taught by the Apostle Paul for like a year. So it's a pretty good start. But it's still a church in its infancy. I think we've got many more years on them. But already they are thinking beyond themselves. They are thinking beyond themselves. Knowing the need of the gospel to be heard elsewhere, they send out, in verse 3, like their two best guys on mission. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half the New Testament, and Barnabas, known throughout Acts as being, you know, the great encourager. I mean, can you imagine this? Can you imagine church life with Paul and Barnabas around? You know, Barnabas would be on welcome at the door, just the kind of great encourager. Come on in, guys. He'd have been welcoming everyone from Little Kickers into the back, accidentally. Come on in. Like, come sit down. Like, see somebody who's a bit upset. Get alongside them, encourage them. What's up? Can I help you? And he would have been a fantastic guy to have on welcome. And then, you know, you kind of sit down, you look at the sheet for the day. Oh, it's the Apostle Paul's preaching again. He's got some points on justification at the back. That's fantastic. I'm excited about hearing the Apostle Paul. And think about it afterwards. You kind of, Barnabas couldn't help but be buzzing around, chatting with people. How did God's word land on you this morning? How can I be encouraging you through the week? What can I be praying for? You know, you couldn't get him away from the coffee point or going to sit with others. And then, you know, you want a question time. Well, the Apostle Paul's in the corner. There's a little queue. Just chat to him about whatever you want. Can you imagine life in this church? What a deal. And yet this church is willing to say bye-bye to these guys for the sake of gospel progress among the nations. Verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here is a church that is growing in maturity. The gospel gets to work inside them, and the outbox is the gospel goes out from them. It is no surprise, is it, that growth in Christlikeness is going to cash out in sacrificial service of others, a concern for the lost, a desire for others to know the forgiveness that we do, to share the delight that we have, to say, get in on this. This is fantastic. Back to the tree analogy, the upward growth, maturity, and then the fruit grows, and then inevitably the fruit drops and seeds, and then more trees. Upward and outward together. The Antioch church is growing in maturity, and it is serious about mission. And here's the thing, it is so serious about mission that it's willing to bear a cost in order to reach the lost. I mean, again, just put the sandals back on. Imagine yourself there. Jamie's spoken to us in the past, hasn't he, at kind of various moments, about a spiritual stretch for the sake of new gospel opportunities. Can you imagine the stretch these guys would have felt? Knowing that they were losing Paul and Barnabas. It's actually a second time they've done this, earlier on in chapter 11, because there are other Christians in need, they send Paul and Barnabas off. And this time again, they're sending Paul and Barnabas out. Now, we don't know exactly what these guys were up to. I kind of did a little imagination experiment a moment ago, but I'm pretty sure the preaching rota would have suddenly needed filling. I'm pretty sure that some people would have needed stepping up to encourage on welcome, fill the gaps. And it's not just the kind of logistical cost that would have been felt. Think about the relational cost for a second. Think about the relational cost. You would have felt the absence of these guys in your number when you gathered on a Sunday. Great cost, but great excitement too, because other people are going to get to hear about Jesus. Other people are going to get a Paul and a Barnabas. And here's the incredible thing that I teed up at the start. Because of the commitment this church had to gospel progress and their stretch, we have come to hear the gospel now. I mean, we're always the result, aren't we, of others going before us. in costly ways a lot of the time. And 13 verse 3 is a monumental moment in history, in the history of the world. This is the first missionary journey out to the Gentiles. This is the gospel going global. This is the beginning of the gospel's journey to East London. So gathered here as the fruit of another church's zeal for gospel progress, for Jesus' name, and with such great news to share, life with him, life with Jesus, can I encourage us to keep following the example of the Antioch church, to keep looking beyond ourselves with a zeal for the gospel to go out from us, even when it requires stretching a cost. In a sense, we've experienced some of this as a church recently, haven't we? We've been able to send off, I guess, some of our own. Lots of us will know Luigi. We sent him off. He's headed back to Milan. And lots of us will know our friend who we've sent off to Asia. And we feel their absence, don't we? We feel their absence amongst us. But it is also very exciting because other people are going to get a Luigi and other people are going to get our friend over in Asia. And even more wonderfully, through them, going to get to hear about our best friend, Lord Jesus. It's a cost, but it is so exciting. I guess continuing to think about kind of big level stuff, we've got new opportunities that have launched, that have opened up. We had the kind of kids' holiday club that happened over the summertime, over half of whom aren't from Christian homes. We have the kids' ministry over at another site having restarted. We have Talking Point English conversation classes. An amazing answer to prayer, the kind of before and after picture of what the Lord's doing there at the moment. There's lots to give thanks for. Lots to give thanks for, lots to be praying into, and lots to get stuck in with. But we must keep asking the Lord to help us to keep the missional mindset as a body together. We must keep thinking, you know, this is fantastic, but what are the places that we aren't reaching? What are the opportunities that we could take that are just so blatant? You know, if there's any, please do come up and talk to us about them. You know, there's somebody who's been trained up in gospel ministry. Someone can teach the word, handle the scriptures well. We might need to say bye-bye to them soon for the sake of gospel progress. That's at a big level. That's kind of thinking corporately as a body together about things. But let's finish by zooming in and think about the different people the Lord has placed around me as an individual in everyday life so that I can share Jesus with them. That is probably the place we'll be most effective, isn't it? That's the people we know the best, the people who know us the best, the people who see our lives most. And this is the kind of practical takeaway for this facet of gospel progress. What's next for me on mission in the place where God's called me to? How will the gospel go out from me this week? And it may require a little stretch, a little bit of a cost. It might be that we need to start praying. This isn't even kind of on our radar as a thing. Just start praying. Maybe think of five people who we can start praying to the Lord for, opening up opportunities to share the wonderful news of Jesus. Might be that we can start speaking to people about Jesus. Just be bold. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Have a God conversation tomorrow morning. Say, what did you get up to on Sunday? Here's what I did. Might be that we could mix our friendship groups up a little bit more to create more of those opportunities. Some of us are great in this room at doing that. Christians with non-Christians hanging out. Might be that we just invite someone to church. Now, hopefully we have services that are particularly helpful for the kind of brand new invite, but hopefully we're not, or Maybe we are a bit. We do sing about someone. Who is it? Andrew said that his maybe like Christians sing about blood a lot when they sing. But hopefully we're not doing things that are too weird. Please do tell us if we are, if kind of a normal service, we're not explaining what we're doing as we go through things and why we do things. So people are like, what on earth is going on next? You know, hopefully every Sunday is a time to be able to invite somebody along and just see the body gathered. It might be that you want to do some walk-up evangelism and chat to Ben. I loved Ben's pitch. Kind of, what was it? You said, don't worry, and then boot camp straight afterwards in one sentence. I don't know how that worked, but that was fantastic. Chat to Ben and others about that. But can I challenge us, each of us, and it's going to look different for every single one of us, in the places where God's called us to, just to turn the temperature up. Use that phrase that Jamie used when it came to small groups last week. Just turn the temperature up when it comes to our personal evangelism this week. Now, perhaps you're thinking, where on earth do I start? I've got no idea, and this sounds terrifying. And I must admit, this is something that I've struggled with too recently. I've got a bit rusty in this area. So I'm really grateful for the fact that we're going to have a Living Truth teaching morning coming up soon where we're going to focus on this. We're going to get really practical about ways that we can be sharing our faith. So do come along to that. Do look out for that. It'll be a Saturday morning teaching time, lots of time around tables, discussing things, sharing tips with one another, talking to each other, praying, discussing again, seminar style thing going on there. And when the date comes out, get it in your diary and pray about it. Pray about it now that as we kind of head towards it, the Lord would really use it to grow us to be bold witnesses for him in the different places he's placed us with the different personalities, the different gifts that he's given us. Well, the tour of Acts is almost over. And in a moment's time, Jamie is going to come and speak to us about what's next for us as a church, having finished our look at Acts. But let's remember what we have seen by tying those two facets together as we've stared at this church that we're really indebted to. And because of them, we've come to hear the saving message of Jesus. A church growing in maturity. A church going on mission. That is a church committed to gospel progress. That is the church in Antioch. And that is the church that we want to be, isn't it, with God's help here in East London. We have such a wonderful message to share, such a necessary message. Salvation is found in no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could continue that story? You know, kind of, we just did the looking back, didn't we, at the start. What about 10, 20, 30 years' time? Others in East London and beyond were saved. And enjoying life with Jesus as a fruit of our labor together as a body. We're able to say, like we can, because of that young church in Antioch, we sit here now because of what the Lord did through Crossway then. Why don't I pray that for us now, that we would be a church letting the gospel go to bear in our lives and holding out that glorious saving gospel to others. Father, thank you so much for those who have gone before us, the ways that you've worked in them. Thank you for this church in Antioch. Father, thank you for their commitment to hearing your voice, to being taught, listening to Barnabas. Keep going. Remain faithful with steadfast purpose. Father, we do ask that you would help us be like them, have a deep concern for one another, help one another to grow in the Lord Jesus. And would we be changing, Father? We do ask by your Spirit you would change us more and more into the likeness of your Son, that this time next year we would be different. We would have been transformed from glory into glory. And Father, we thank you as well for the example of these guys in stretching for the sake of others, a passion for the lost, and a desire to make Jesus known. Father, would that be our passion? Would that be our desire? Father, we're sorry when we flag at this, when we grow dull, when we don't share the Lord Jesus' passion for the lost. And we do ask, Father, that you would work in our hearts to grow that desire. And then we do pray, Father, that you would help us to speak boldly of Christ and that you might use us for the sake of kingdom growth, that many may come to the Lord Jesus and enjoy life to the full with him. For his glory. Amen.